Okay, today's shiur is sponsored for Refuah Shleimah for Avram Chaim ben Tzirul Shalamis, I think, and the Nishmas Sima Bas Avram Halevi, Neshama Shama Aliyah, and all Chayim should have Refuah Shleimah. So, just to repeat again the schedule for the next, well, for today and for the future, and then we're going to discuss the Malach of Tzad and Sheikhit, and we'll just hopefully end off with something for the 3 weeks and something we could leave with us for the summer. Today's the last year for the summer. After the summer, Bez Hashem, like we said, we'll continue, hopefully, Bez Hashem. We were discussing what topics last week. We were discussing after this year, as far as before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, I'd like to give one shiur, if we have this chus of continuing, one shiur on the halachas of Erev Tavshilin for women, specifically for women, and if we have the opportunity to give two shiurim before Yom Kippur, then the second one will be on the halachas of Mechila, as far as asking Mechila from people, when you're allowed to, when you need to, as far as being Mechil other people, Mechila through text message, things like that. So those halachas we'll discuss hopefully next year and next after the summer. And as far as after Sukkot, I would love to be able to continue. We were discussing as far as different topics. I realize that we still have not had the opportunity to discuss the topics of what you're allowed to talk about on Shabbos, what are you allowed, like running on Shabbos, reading certain objects. I was talking to your husband about it this past Shabbos, what you're allowed to read on Shabbos. So enjoy yourselves over the summer until we discuss those halachas. Trust me, I'm looking for heterim as well, but I would like to discuss that. Maybe, perhaps, even we'll start with that after Sukkot, just to, I don't want to use the expression, get that out of the way, but just to discuss those halachas. There's still perhaps some of the lamatas halachas we haven't discussed there, boina and seiser, and knots, and things like that, kosher matir.
But it's good, because you're good for shalom bayis. No, like I told him I finished reading.
So far, I'm getting the impression over the past year and a half that I'm bad for Shalom Bayis.
I told him
so
I
please tell me.
Capturing Eichmann, and he said, did you ask Rabbi Krohn if you were allowed to read?
Oh,
to
and also that other guy that they
in general, I wasn't even.
He obviously didn't want to tell me himself that he wasn't allowed, that I shouldn't have read that. He was saying, did you ask Rabbi Krohn?
This is part of what I want to talk about at the end. At the end. But not so much about the Chumras and Kulas that we discussed last week, but it's just as we were talking about Eichmann, things about the Holocaust are extremely not simple to read on Shabbos. I wasn't even discussing that with your husband.
No, but this wasn't a sad book about the Holocaust. It was just about like how he was captured.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But just in general, fine. I've never read that book. But as far as reading things about the Holocaust is extremely not simple on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make yourself sad on Shabbos. That's the Befer Shalach and Mishnah Berurah. Okay, fine, right. So this is maybe different. Okay, this perhaps is different. But as far as moving stories about the Holocaust, those should be avoided on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do something to make yourself sad on Shabbos. If something happens to somebody or they find out about something, okay, it's natural to become sad. But to do things that's, you all know, right? You're not allowed to ask bakashos on Shabbos, right? You don't want to ask your own personal bakashos. Why? And Mishnah Berurah says, because that makes a person sad. Because you realize that a person needs a refuah shleima or parnasa, whatever it is, hatzlacha, that makes a person sad. So that's the reason why the Mishnah Berurah says we're not allowed to ask personal bakashas, and that's exactly why there's a leniency in regards to certain bakashas, something that's a standard text in the Siddur, or if Tu B'Shvat comes on Shabbos, you're allowed to daven for an esrig, because B'nai Sosra says you're supposed to daven for a good esrig on Tu B'Shvat for the next year. So they say you're allowed to on Shabbos, because it doesn't make you sad, it's just a stam bakasha. So just in general about the Holocaust, reading things, but I wasn't even planning on discussing those halachos. I was discussing, I plan on discussing Mitzvah Shem after Sukkot, other issues as far as what you're allowed to read, menus and lists and recipe books and stam novels, kids' books, that Bez Hashem, Mishpacha magazines, Ami magazines, Bina, all these things. Read as much as you want over the summer. And after Sukkot, we'll be in touch. But again, I haven't said anything yet, okay? So don't quote me, because I haven't said anything.
Before I read anything, I'll run down the block and I have to say.
Yeah, until Sukkot, you're good. And after Sukkot, we'll
Bez Hashem discuss. So the first Tuesday is the Tuesday after Labor Day. Is that
so we have, as far as exact Tuesday, when we're going to start, Bez Hashem, we have to be in touch. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I don't know exactly. And I definitely do not know my brisk schedule.
Sign up for an email.
Okay. And one last thing before we start it could be some of you know that I give a Tuesday night cheer as well by Mrs. Stein on Pleasant Avenue. Now your daughter comes. So that cheer also they wanted to continue over the summer. That, of course, I'm not going to be in Camp Nofesh at night. So theoretically, I'm able to. I wasn't sure because I need the time. But I'm going to tell them tonight that what I've decided, Bez Hashem, is I'm going to continue the Tuesday night cheer, even over the summer. But it's going to be something that's a review. I'm not going to be able to do something new over the summer, even if I have the notes ready, but I'm just going to be busy with many other things. I'm not sure yet if it's going to be a review on brachos, if it's going to be a review of some of the lamates malachos of Bishol, of Muksa. Maybe they'll get a say in the matter. But those of you who just once a week they want to come to a shir, that Tuesday night shir is on Pleasant Avenue by Mrs. Stein. It's 7:45 to 8:30. And maybe switching after the summer, maybe switching to 8 to 8:45. But for now, it's 7:45 to 8:30. Okay, let's finish the Malacha of Tzad. Last week, we were discussing the Malacha of Tzad, of trapping on Shabbos. I want to finish that today and do the entire Malacha of Sheichet, of killing on Shabbos. And then, hopefully have time to discuss a couple other things. So last week, we said a very, very, very brief review of what we said last week, and we need to finish, is that trapping is not allowed on Shabbos. We said five or six situations where trapping is not forbidden on a D'Oraisa level, but rather it's only forbidden on a D'Rabbanan level. We said one leniency is if you set a trap and it doesn't come in right away, if it takes a few seconds till it comes in, which we said is 99.9% of the time when you set a trap, it's not going to run in right away. So that is one case. When it only comes in after a few seconds or more, then it's only on a derabanan level. Another derabanan we said is if the animal is injured or sick or old, fine, that or sleeping. That we said is not so common, but that led us to a halacha that if it's a slow-moving creature, a snail, a slug, some ants, some spiders, and things like that, then many paiskim said that is totally permitted. Fine, that was another halacha. A third halacha is that if you're not going to use it for yourself, you're not trapping it in the Mishkan, the way they did it, they trapped something to use it for themselves. If you're not using it for yourself, then that is what we call a malacha shein tzricha legufa. We introduced such a phrase, and that is possibility number three, that it's only forbidden on a derabbanan level. Possibility number four is if something is not normal to be captured, if it's not normal to be captured for its usage, meaning something that's not normally used for its fur, for its skin. A mouse is something that's ein amino nitzo, so even if you personally want it for yourself, but that is still an issa derabbanan. Fine, we discussed other ways where you're not totally trapping it, you're just confining it a little bit. What we left off, so that was already, and we said many situations where it could be much more lenient because it's only us and Midarabanan. We discussed if you want to, up in the bungalow colony or something, you want to use the bathroom and you want to close the door and there's a spider inside or a fly flying around inside, we said that you would be allowed to because that's covered abrios and it's a Darabanan on a Darabanan on a Darabanan, definitely we would be allowed to do that. What we left off last week is the halachos of the following. We said, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if you have a creature, an insect or an animal that will cause major pain, right? We left off with this halacha that the Shulchan Aruch said, if it's going to cause major pain, if it bites somebody, a bee, a wasp, a hornet, a snake or scorpion, a squirrel, a raccoon, a rat, many situations where it will cause major pain if it bites or stings somebody, then we said the halacha is that you are allowed to trap that on Shabbos or Yontif. Because it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, you don't want the object for yourself, just the opposite. You're trying to keep it away from you. Trapping means to keep it for you. You want to get it away from yourself. So that is allowed, since that's only a derabanan, because it's not real trapping, it's just to get it away from you. So in a case where it's going to cause major pain, we said you are allowed to trap it. We did say two things from the Mishnah Berurah, that if it's for sure not going to bother you, it's walking the other way and it's no connection to you, so you should not go ahead and trap it because there's no suspicion that it's going to bite you. And number two, he said from the Mishnah Berurah that you shouldn't do it in the normal fashion. You should just rather take a cup or a bowl and cover the bee or something like that, but not to use a regular bee trap. And that's where we left off last week, that we said that, you know, those bee, if you hang it up from the schach or you hang it from somewhere and it traps the bees on Sukkot, those should not be spread, the nose should not be put out on Sukkot, because that's the normal way to trap it. I'm talking about on Yontif. We said before Shabbos Yontif, you're totally allowed, we said that. But on Yontif itself, you should not put it out on Yontif because that's the normal way to trap it. And even though that's a derabanan because it's not going to happen immediately, but Mishnah Berurah did tell us that you shouldn't be done in the normal manner. That is where we left off last week.
Okay, let's say it's a creature that you know is not going to bite you,
okay,
necessarily, or you don't know, but I mean, right, it's like, but can you trap it because it's terrifying?
Like
why is it terrifying?
Okay. We had a snake in our basement.
Okay.
Okay. It was a garden snake. It doesn't bite people.
Right.
It doesn't go after you, whatever
right.
it is. It's just horrifying.
Right.
Okay. I mean, it was on Yom Tov.
Okay.
And my son-in-law took a broom and swept it into a garbage can, a waste basket, and then threw the whole thing out the door.
Okay. So that waste basket probably
daughter,
was open
my
on top anyway.
Would have been
right.
probably
I just mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, she was already.
Okay, fine.
So I mean.
So that if it's not dangerous, so all it is. I mean, we'll see when we get to mosquitoes and gnats and other bugs. But if it's not dangerous, I would imagine you would not have that heather. This heather that we said so far, as far as causing major pain, it's not going to cause major pain. But
she's not trapping it because she wants it.
Right, so that it would be only midrabbanan. For sure, at worst, it would only be an iser
midrabbanan. I say, at what point, like pain, is it like, what happens if it's emotional pain?
There's pain.
No,
what if you're not sure what kind of snake it is?
Okay, so if there's a chance, so if you know for a fact that it's a garden snake or something that it's not going to cause pain, then you wouldn't have this heter. Let's see the next couple of cases, and let's see if we could find the heter for you. I mean, you did it already, but...
the garbage can was open.
Right, if the garbage, so the specific case that it sounded like you did with the box and the garbage can, chances are it's open, and we have to see in a moment as far as screens with holes and closing the door with a bug inside while trying to get to there. But anyways, it could be that's not a problem because that's not a trap.
It
could have come out.
Camp that has bears. Like in Sternberg, I remember there was a
bear. Yeah, my wife in Sternberg saw a bear face to face. She always
was
staring right to a bear. She said it was about 3 or 4 feet from her. And you're not supposed to run. She just ran. This is not, it's not on Shabbos. I don't know about trapping a bear. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that. No, not my wife. But let's continue for a second.
Oh,
so okay. So if there's a chance that it's danger, we're going to see as far as killing. We have to get to killing it. But as far as if you're not sure what type of snake, then that will be included. That's at least if it's pikuach nefesh. As far as pain, if you're not sure if it's a type of snake that's a lot of pain or a little bit of pain, that I'm not so sure about. But as far as perhaps it's the type of snake that could kill, then for sure that's a safek pikuach nefesh. You'd be allowed to trap it. You'd even be allowed to kill it. Yeah, we have to discuss killing separately. If it's a type of animal or insect that doesn't cause major pain, but it only causes minor pain, like a mosquito or a gnat. Now, a mosquito is very annoying, but that's not major pain. I know it itches for a long time, but that's not major pain. That's considered minor pain. There, the Shulchan Aruch says it depends on the following. If it's on your body already, and it's already biting you, right? You know how that is. On Shabbos, during the week, whatever it is, but you have a mosquito on you, and you could feel that it's already biting you. So there, the Shulchan Aruch tells us you're allowed to take it. Again, let's assume muksa is not an issue because it's graf shor a. We'll keep it simple for now. Muksa is not an issue, and we say that you're allowed to take it and momentarily trapping it and throw it away. So again, if it's something that causes minor pain, like a mosquito or a gnat, if it's already on you and biting you, you're allowed to momentarily take it and then run outside and throw it away, or run it or keep it away from you. Now, that may not be so practical, how, to go grab it, could put a cup on it, maybe something like that. It's not so practical, but anyways, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's preferable to not go ahead and grab it and throw it away, but just to shoo it off of you, which chances are that's what you would prefer to do anyway. You would probably do that during the week. You would just go like this, or just move, get it off of you. So that's for sure would be allowed on Shabbos, especially if it is already biting you. If it's not already biting you, then it's just around you and it's flying, mosquitoes flying around, you would not be allowed to go ahead and trap it. That, it's only minor pain, so there we say that you don't have such a heter. But if it's already biting you, there the Shulchan Aruch would permit such a thing. If it's just annoying you as far as the buzzing sound, you're in bed at night and you hear the buzzing sound, and every 30 seconds comes, you hear it next to you. So that is not, and it's not something that's going to cause any pain at all. There, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, and this is what the English Torah go with this, that you do not have a heter to trap it. Of course, you just have the light on outside in the hallway, leave the door open, it'll go to where the light is, fine, you find eitzes to get rid of it. But as far as trapping something that's just annoying you because of the buzzing sound, but there's no pain involved, there we do not have such a heter.
Is closing your bathroom door trapping?
So we discussed that last week far as how big the room is.
Maybe.
It depends.
Maybe.
It would only be on a derabanan level anyway, because this is not something that you want to keep for yourself, you want to save this insect for something. It would only be on a derabanan level. But if you close the door in order to trap it, because you just get it out of here, I want it in the bathroom. So it depends on how big the bathroom is, and it depends on the insect. If it's the type of fly that if it's a type of big enough bathroom that it's not trapped at all. You just totally can't get it. If you would be in the bathroom, it wouldn't make it any easier to get it, then that's totally mutter. But if it makes it somewhat easier, then that makes it asur midirabanan. If it's such a small room or such a small box that now it's totally, you're able to grab it easily, then that's asur midiraisa. Mm-hmm. Okay, by a fly. Anyways, it's not asur midiraisa because it's not minanitzot or anything like that. But that's what it would depend on. Harmless insects like ants are totally harmless. Those are not allowed to be trapped. Ants probably, anyways, are not on a deraisa level because it's not minanitzot. And we said that if it's a very slow-moving creature, it's a slow-moving ant, then it's totally permitted to be trapped on Shabbos because that's, you know, it's slow-moving, totally. But even if it's the type of ants that's moving fast, those would not be allowed to be trapped on Shabbos, even if it's annoying you or something like that, because those are totally harmless and we do not have a heter to trap them.
Can you sweep those out the door?
You could sweep it out the door if it's disgusting to you. So muksa is not an issue. You're not sweeping it. You're not you're not trapping it. As far as killing it by mistake, that we have to see. We have to discuss killing. But as far as that's not called trapping, sweeping it out the door, muksa would not be an issue. When we first moved to the neighborhood, you just reminded me about the ants. We first moved to the neighborhood, so we had a terrible problem with ants. The people before us didn't. Exterminate for it properly. We had a terrible problem of ants. I don't know how many of you I knew when I first moved here, but we had twins 6 weeks after we moved to Passaic, almost 7 years ago. So we had a Shalom Zachar in the house. And the window where they came in from, that's where we had all the food. And halfway through my Shalom Zachar, I noticed sitting behind me thousands of ants. Thousands is not even the word. It was like, It was, and I'm in the middle of Shalom Zachar, and I have to like shmooze with people and say Dvar Torah, and right behind me on my fireplace on top was thousands of ants. So the window was closed; I couldn't even open it. But technically, it was impossible to trap that many ants. We just had to we threw out all the food and we just got rid of it, and they disappeared. So we exterminated. But as far as if you have lots of ants on Shabbos, you want to sweep it out. Muksa is not an issue. Anyways, it's Tultum and Atzad. That would not be a problem, but as far as killing it, we have to discuss, because you may kill it by mistake when you sweep, so that we have to, Bez Hashem, get to. Other leniencies of tzad, which are not as common, is hefsid meruba. If you're going to lose a lot of money by not trapping it, and there's really only two examples, this may not be so common for many of you, is let's say you have a pet that's very, very expensive, and it's about to run out the door, and you know its tendencies that it's going to run, and you're never going to get it again. So it's a very expensive pet, and what's considered expensive depends on each and every person. If someone is a multimillionaire, so a certain amount of, you know, a $50 pet is not a big deal. To someone who has less money, so then a $50 pet is considered expensive. It depends on each and every person. Then you're allowed to quickly trap it and keep it put it in a cage or something like that. If you're afraid you're going to lose that pet, fine. I don't know how common that is. But another issue is if you have certain animals that are eating up all your tomatoes. You have a tomato patch in the backyard, or you're growing some vegetables in the backyard, and they're ruining it. And the only way you could prevent them from ruining it is not just simply to chase it away, but to trap it. So you would be allowed to trap it on a hefsid meruba, but only in one of two ways. Either to ask a goy to do it, because I would love to learn those halachas as far as telling goyim what to do, but as far as you're allowed to tell a goy to do something that is a major loss for you on Shabbos. So that would be allowed. This is also because of the fact that it's only a derabanan, because you don't want to keep it for yourself, you want to keep it away. But again, trying to keep it as simple as possible. In those situations where the pet is going to run away, or if the animals are going to, eat your vegetables, and you have all this food, and you're afraid that the animals are going to ruin it, so that's going to cause a loss to you, you'd be allowed to ask a goy to trap it, or you could yourself trap it if it's a double derabanan. It's not mino nitzod, and you're keeping it away from yourself. Usually you'll have a double derabanan that would be allowed. Fine, again.
If you're a caterer, you had thousands of ants that were approaching your...
And it's going to ruin all your food? Yeah, so then, so chances are that will be a hefsim ruba. For sure, you could ask a guy. And himself, ants are not mina nitzod, and you want to keep it away from yourself? Yeah, even the Jew would be allowed, if it's possible to trap it, would be allowed to trap it.
A regular tomato patch, like we have in background, I couldn't help. It's an animal, like, it wouldn't be a
hefsid meruba. Yeah, if it's just a few tomatoes and it wouldn't be a big deal to you, then yeah.
It would be a big deal to my kids. I'm saying it wouldn't.
Right, but as far as a loss of money, it wouldn't be a loss of money. It wouldn't be a loss.
You don't want the animal anyhow, and what's the second that you're over? It's a double derabanan, you said.
Because it's not mino nitzot. It's not something that's normally trapped. That's something we discussed last week. There's certain animals that are normal to be trapped for its skin or for its fur, and other animals are not. So even if you, besides the fact that what you want, just in general, what type of animal this is. One last halach in regards to tzad is that let's say you have an insect or a bug on the window screen, and your window is open, but it's on the screen, and you want to close the window because you don't want the bug to fly indoors. Mm-hmm. So the halacha is that you are not allowed to close the window, even though that's only also on a derabanan level. But if you have a fly and you're afraid, you're concerned, you don't want it to come inside the house, so I have a great idea, let me quickly close the window. That is not allowed to be done on Shabbos because you are trapping it. It's very small area right now. It's only also on a derabanan level because I have no interest in it, but that is still forbidden to be done on Shabbos. Right. However, hold on one second. However, if the screen has a hole in it, and it's a very noticeable hole, so I would love for it to go outside the hole. I just don't want it to come inside the house. So I am allowed to close the window, and hopefully it'll fly out that hole in the screen window. That's probably how I got it in the first place. And it'll see it, and it'll go out. Then that's not considered trapping, even though I closed the window on it, but it could easily get out through the hole. Depends how big of a hole it is, how noticeable of a hole it is. You have to be careful. But otherwise, you'll be not allowed to close the window. The Mishnah Berurah discusses, let's say the window's open and there's a fly on the screen, no holes, let's say. But I'm closing the window not because I want to trap it, I don't want it to come inside the house. I'm closing the window because it's very noisy outside or because it's very cold. So am I allowed to have that trap? So the Mishnah Berurah says it is permitted. It's a big discussion, why exactly is it permitted? The Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain himself why it's permitted. It's a psik resha, it's for sure going to be trapped. I'm talking about where there's no holes. It could be the reason is you know, plenty of derabanans, and for the purpose of the cold and for the noise, so I'm allowed to do it because of that, because it's only a derabanan on a derabanan, and it's for the cold, to keep out the cold. So there, the Mishnah Berurah says that is allowed.
How about if your air conditioning went on and you just don't want...
You don't want what?
No, and you want to close your window because you don't want the air conditioning on while the window's open.
And there's a fly over there?
Yeah.
So then, you know, I don't think that would be permitted. Maybe if you want to know if that will be included in the Mishnah Berurah's case, you know, you could try to open the screen door, yeah, the screen window up and down, not totally out and in because that's bona, but up and down to get the fly out. But yeah, if you want to close the window and there's a fly there with no holes in the screen, I would imagine that would not be allowed. Yeah.
Can you lift up the screen?
You're allowed to lift up a screen. If it's still in the latches, you're allowed to lift up and down.
The window, then
it has the light. Okay, good, right. Yeah, very good. Question. Yeah, okay. Right. Just remember, when you open up the screen, right, you're moving it tiltum and atzad, which is not a problem, because you're moving the muksa object, but that's tiltum and atzad. It's not a problem, because you're doing it for the non-muksa item. Yeah, and then it'll be able to go out. You close the window, it'll be able to go out.
If it's a bee or a wasp.
So then anyways, that's something that could cause major pain. Anyways, you'd be allowed to chop it. Yeah, anyways, be allowed to. Yeah, 100%. Now let's go to the malacha of sheichet. Wow, time flies. Okay, let's do the malacha of sheichet very quickly. The malacha of sheichet, which means to shecht on Shabbos, of course, like we said many times, is all based on the Mishkan. In the times of the Mishkan, they shechted the animals, or they killed the animals to use the skins. That's what Rashi explains. The halacha is that not only shechting an animal on Shabbos is included in this malacha of hasheichet. Any type of killing, the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Rambam, any type of killing is not allowed on Shabbos. It's called Netilas Neshama. Killing an animal or an insect is not allowed on Shabbos. Choking, stepping on it, removing fish from water. You can't drown a bug. Let's say you have a bug in your sink or an insect in the sink. You turn on the water and then it drowns it and it kills it. That is also not allowed to be done on Shabbos. It doesn't have to be any type of shechita or any type of blood necessarily. Killing itself is not allowed on Shabbos. Someone asked last week after the shiur as far as spraying insecticide. That is not allowed. You spray insecticide on an animal and that kills it. That is also not allowed. Rabbi Asher says that is included in killing it. Of course, that's a direct act, and that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Once again, it is only forbidden on a d'oraisa level if you are killing this animal or insect to use it. That's the way it was in the Mishkan. They killed something to use it, either to use the skin or to use something else from it. But it's only if you're going to use it. I would think 99.9% of the time when somebody kills something on Shabbos, nowadays for us, you're not going to use that animal or that insect for yourself for the future. It's only because you don't want it. So almost always it's going to be only forbidden on a derabanan level as far as killing something on Shabbos. But it still is also midarabanan to kill something on Shabbos. We'll discuss as far as harmful creatures in a moment. The pasuk says, in Parshas Re'eh, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. For the blood, it is the life. Blood is considered life. And therefore, the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch, that not only killing objects, animals, live creatures on Shabbos is forbidden in the Malach of Sheichet, not only killing, but even if the animal or the person is totally alive, but drawing blood is also included in the Malach of Sheichet. Even in not killing anything, even just drawing blood is included. Again, over here, the only time this will be forbidden on a De'iraisa level is if you want the blood for a blood test or something like that. Then it would be considered on a deraisa level. If you're drawing the blood, if the blood comes out for some other reason, it's only forbidden at worst on a derabanan level. Fine. As far as black and blue marks, I'm going to keep it short. But the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say it doesn't. The blood doesn't have to necessarily come out. As long as it leaves the bloodstream, that is also considered bleeding on Shabbos because the blood vessels beneath the skin ruptures, and then that's also included. The blood comes out, and it doesn't re-enter the bloodstream, it's just eliminated through the body through other ways. That is also considered
that's why I say be careful not to hit on,
right, so not to hit, right, so if you cause a black and blue mark, that could be considered on, that could be considered hasheichet. But again, it's most probably not at the raisa level, because you don't want the blood, unless perhaps is that you're angry at somebody and it's good for yourself that you're hitting the person. Because then that's, you consider, you're happy about the fact that they're bleeding, you wanted to get the person back. So besides other averus, bin other machavera, la Yosef and the Kama and Atira and things like that, but that perhaps would be on a deraisa level. Fine. Just a few halachas that we discussed, the halacha of gozes. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not take out a tooth on Shabbos. Why? Because when a person takes out a tooth, it bleeds. So perhaps deraisa, perhaps derabanan. Derabanan makes a lot of sense because I don't want the blood when I take out a tooth. I don't want the blood. Perhaps it's deraisa because it's for refuah purposes. So then that's good. But a tooth should not be taken out on Shabbos. Very important. If the tooth is very, very, very loose, let's say it's one of your kids' teeth, and it's the same thing if you do it for somebody else. That's why it was in the Mishkan. You did it to something else. But if you take out a tooth on Shabbos and it's very loose and quite possibly it won't bleed, quite possible it won't bleed, even if it ends up bleeding, it's not a problem. You will be allowed to take it off on Shabbos. If it's painful, you have to get involved in Malach of Gozes. But any time we discuss that you cause something to bleed is not allowed on Shabbos, that is only if it's for sure going to bleed. If it's something that we call, like we've discussed many times, a davar she'eino mischaven, something that you didn't have kavana, you didn't have in mind for it to happen, and it wasn't a psik resha, it wasn't for sure going to bleed, that is allowed to be done on Shabbos. That is why you're allowed to take out a splinter on Shabbos. Hold on one second. For yourself, for your kids, you are allowed to take out a splinter. It's not for sure going to bleed. Besides that, it's painful. But even if it will bleed, you didn't have kavana for it to bleed, and it's not for sure going to bleed. Even if it ends up bleeding, it is not a problem on Shabbos. Flossing and using a toothpick. So if it's going to cause to bleed, it would not be allowed to be done on Shabbos. If you're not sure if it's going to bleed, so then technically you would be allowed to do that on Shabbos because it's not for sure going to bleed. Whoops, by mistake, it ends up bleeding. So fine, it's not a problem. Of course, there's the issue of tearing the floss on Shabbos. Okay, that's not allowed. Maybe that's mechatech. But let's say you have those flosses, flosses that come already cut before. If it's not for sure going to bleed, that will be allowed. Doesn't seem as if it's a problem of borer per se. I think we were discussing once, why not? Toothbrushes, wet toothbrushes, if you're not going to bleed, that will be allowed as far as shochet. You have to discuss schita issues, which we discussed already on our two shiurim about malabin. It's fine. But all those things, you have to keep all those in mind. Pus, you're allowed to remove pus on Shabbos. Even if some of the blood comes out, if a person has a pimple and they want to pop it, that will be allowed. The blood is already removed from their body. It just happens to be in the pimple. If some of the pus comes out with blood, that is not a problem. As far as tearing skin off, that would not be allowed. But if you just want to pop the pimple, that would be allowed. Shots and IVs, that of course needs to be dealt with each separate case as far as pekuach nefesh, as far as achayla. The doctors, I'm sure, know these halachos. Each situation, of course, needs to be dealt with separately. One last halacha in regards to killing is in regards to what we were discussing before by trapping, as far as an animal that, or an insect or a bug that can cause pain. So the halacha is the following. The Shulchan Aruch tells us there are certain situations where you would be allowed to kill an animal or kill a bug on Shabbos. We'll discuss in the weekday in a moment, but as far as on Shabbos, as far as killing an animal, so the halacha is that any animal or insect that can kill somebody, you were discussing before, as far as like a snake, a venomous snake, let's say you're out hiking or something, you're up in the mountains, and if there's a type of snake or some type of animal that can kill somebody, let's say you have a bee, but a person knows that they're allergic to bee stings. So that can be, and again, like you pointed out before, it doesn't have to be a situation where you know for a fact the person is going to die. If it's a type of situation where you have an animal, an insect, that perhaps it can kill somebody, there the Shulchan Aruch says you are allowed to kill the animal or the insect. And the Ramnissen Krelet says that you don't even have to try to trap it instead. You could go right ahead and kill the animal, and the Mishnah Berurah says an incredible heter, even if the animal is running away from you. The animal is running away from you. It's not coming towards you. You're not threatened by it. It's running the other direction, but it's in your vicinity. You are allowed to kill such an animal that can kill somebody if it bites or stings. It has to be that type of animal. Like you said, there's some type, different types of snakes, and there's different types of scorpions. My brother-in-law was one time in a yeshiva, he learned in the mirror, but when he once went to Ber Yaakov for Shabbos when he was a bachur in the mirror, and he came Shabbos afternoon to the Beis Medrash, and you know there was a scorpion in the Beis Medrash, and the boys surrounded the scorpion, and they knew they had an encyclopedia somewhere in the yeshiva, maybe in the dormitory. Someone went, they surrounded the scorpion to make sure it doesn't get away, and someone went to run to get the encyclopedia to see the different types of scorpions. Is this the type that kills? If black or yellow, there's different types. Is this the type that kills or not? If it's the type that kills, they'd be allowed to step on it and kill it. So they were waiting a few minutes till the boy came back with the encyclopedia, and meanwhile, another bachur walked into the Beis Medrash. He saw a whole commotion in the middle of the Beis Medrash. Everyone's gathering around. So he comes in. He's like, you know, what's going on, Man Shemai? Like, what's going on? And he didn't hear what anyone said. While he looked around, what was going on, he noticed a scorpion. And he's like, Akrav, he's a scorpion. And he quickly steps on the scorpion and kills it. And I was like, okay, forget the encyclopedia. It's once you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to. Okay, but the guy just like freaked out. He saw it and boom, he just killed it. So they'll never know. Maybe they found that afterwards. Was he allowed to do that or not? But if it is the type of scorpion, and I know somebody who was bitten by a scorpion in Sanhedrin Muchevet. He put on his pants Erev Shabbos, and right before Shabbos, he took a shower, put on his pants, and all of a sudden he felt a huge bite. He took off his pants quickly, and as my brother's brother-in-law, and he was very smart. He took it, and he killed it, and it was before Shabbos. He took it, put it in a sandwich bag, and he ran to the hospital with it, you know, to find out. Ends up, Baruch Hashem, it wasn't the type that was poisonous to kill, but he took it, and...
So escape in 1 second.
Right, yeah, so he quickly killed it, and he took it with him, you know, to the hospital.
First scenario.
Right.
You
really have to look it up and know if it's dangerous.
But there's a possibility that it's
okay. Okay, maybe they would have been allowed. Fine, could be. Maybe they would have been allowed to kill it just in case. But maybe it was Efshel Levure, they could have checked it out.
Oh, come on, this is much more interesting.
It was worth the story.
For sure.
It was let's say that it's not the type of animal that's going to kill, but it's very, very painful. A bee, a wasp, so it's not going to kill. Again, a person's not allergic to a bee sting. Right. A bee, a wasp, it's very painful. So we said before, as far as trapping, we said you are allowed to trap it. Mishnah Berurah said not in the normal manner. What about killing it? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's running after a person, then you are allowed to kill it. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it doesn't have to mamish be running after the person. As long as it's coming in their direction, that's included in what the Shulchan Aruch says, that you are allowed to kill it. So if you see a bee coming towards you on Shabbos or Yontif, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us you are allowed to kill it on Shabbos. Even if it's not mamish chasing you, if the bee is coming towards you, or a wasp, or a queen bee, or something like that, you are allowed to kill it on Shabbos. If it's not coming towards you, then the Shulchan Aruch says that you can step on it and kill it as you go, even if it's on purpose. But let's say you have a bee and it's on the floor in your sukkah, whatever it is. And anyways, killing bees on Yontif is much more lenient. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, anyways, you're allowed to kill insects on Yontif. I think we discussed that at one point. Okay. Not sure. No, I think it sounds like it's this one. So there, as far as if it's painful but not coming towards you, then not coming towards you, you're allowed to kill it, but only in the normal manner, while you walk, while you're doing other things, you would be allowed to kill it. If it's coming towards you and it's very painful, then you can kill it. If it's an animal that could kill somebody, there, even if it's not coming towards you, you are allowed to kill it. So again, if it's, it could kill somebody, then straight out, you're allowed to kill it. If it's just very painful, then it depends. If it's coming towards you, you are allowed to kill it. If it's not coming towards you, then the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to kill it as you go along. I'm going to hold off on questions for now. As far as lice is a big machlokas, lice and nits, are you allowed to kill it or you're not allowed to kill it? Shulchan Aruch says you are allowed to kill it. Maybe nowadays it's different. Fine, we're going to hold off on that. That's a little bit complicated. As far as just killing animals during the week, stam, you know, you see a bug on the street, you go ahead and kill it. You know, kids like to do that. You know, you see an insect, an ant, and you just see, you step on it, gives kids like a feeling of authority that they could kill it. For no reason, it should not be done. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if it's bothering you, then you do have permission. You are allowed to kill it. He says that, he says it's not even like a midas chasidus not to. If it's bothering you, if it's causing you aggravation, then you are allowed to kill it. But he says it's better not to do it be a dayan, like with your hands. Maybe like you said before, instead of stepping on it, maybe take a book and put it on top. Maybe that's because he says that teaches you achzarius, that teaches you. Sometimes you can't, right? Sometimes you can't. But that teaches like a person a bad midah to kill. It's not a proper thing. But if it's bothering you, you do have permission to kill such animals during the week. Mosquitoes. Yeah, you'll be allowed to kill it if it's bothering you and you're afraid it's going to cause you pain during the week. I'm talking about Shabbos, we discussed already, right? Maybe it was before you came. But then, no, as far as killing, we said mosquitoes, it's not very painful. You would not have a heter to kill it. It's only minor pain. And the mosquitoes, you would not have a heter to kill on Shabbos. I just want to end off with the last 5 minutes before we end off for the summer.
Sweeping the ants out.
It's a davar she'eino mischaven. If by mistake some of them get killed, it wouldn't be a problem. You didn't try to kill it. It didn't try to, and it wasn't a psik resha that it's going to be killed. You'd be allowed to do it. In Eretz Yisrael, we had jukes, right? The cockroaches. On Shabbos, many times in my 5 years living in Eretz Yisrael, I was there 3 years as a bachar, many times I took a broom and tried to sweep the juke out of the house, alive, dead, whatever it is. But even if they died by mistake, it's not a problem because it wasn't a psik resha. These jukes, talking about on Shabbos, these jukes have 9 lives. It's very hard to kill them. I once saw one on its back for 24 hours. That means it's dead, you know, on the back for 24 hours. After 24 hours, I figured, okay, now I could take a broom and sweep it. I touched it with the broom and got up and ran away. And it was there for 24 hours at least. It was on the staircase in my apartment, whatever. But there, it's not a problem. It's not for sure going to die. If it ends up dying by mistake, that's a davar she'eino mischaven, and it's not a problem.
What if it's suffering at that point?
Okay, so that the Minchas Chinuch has a suffering. Let's say it's suffering, so you're allowed to kill it because you're not causing it pain, but he says you shouldn't. He says you could ask a guy to kill it. If something's suffering on Shabbos, can I go kill it? He says you're not allowed to. Maybe midiraisa, maybe midirabanan, but you're allowed to ask a guy to go ahead and kill the animal that's suffering on Shabbos. That's what the Menach Sinach says. Just want to end off with one thing. We say we're approaching the next week of Shabbos Batamas, we're approaching the 3 weeks. We say in davening at the end of Shemona Esrei, you may recognize this because this is something we once discussed in Prima Pizza last year after Tisha B'Av, that we say at the end of davening, at the end of Shemona Esrei, b'meher b'yameinu, v'sein chalkeinu b'seir asecha. That we daven for the Beis HaMikdash, v'sein chalkeinu b'seir asecha. And also Hashem should give us a portion in Torah. And the Vilna Gaon wants to know why that whole paragraph is about the Beis HaMikdash. We're davening, tefillah is instead of the karbanos, so we're davening and is instead of the carbon, so we ask Hashem to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. But why do we say, v'sein chalkeinu b'seir asecha, that you should give us our portion in the Torah? What does the Torah have to do with anything? It's nice, but we're davening about the Beis HaMikdash, m'her b'yameinu, Hashem should bring back the Beis HaMikdash. Why are we putting in a request in regards to the Torah? Why is it stuck in the middle of nowhere? So the Vilna Gaon says that our understanding in Torah is greater because of the Beis HaMikdash. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, any understanding that we can grasp of the Torah, which is so deep, is greater when we have the Beis HaMikdash around. It's just an automatic effect. If we have the Schus of the Beis HaMikdash with us, we have an easier time to understand the Torah, and we could grow higher in Torah. But once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then we say that it's much harder to grasp the Torah, even though the great Talmid Chachamim that we have nowadays, but it's still much harder that the Beis HaMikdash is not around. And I've said many, many times over here in the neighborhood, and it's something that I feel very strongly about, this we have Baruch Hashem over here with Zeichen. Again, I don't mean to exclude other neighborhoods because many neighborhoods have this as well. Is that we have many shiurim available for women in the neighborhood. For men, for sure, men are always going to shiurim, but for women, we have halacha shiurim, we have shiurim in hashkafa and the parsha and tefillah. It's all fantastic, and everybody, you know, some people relate more to a woman giving the shiur. That's great. They should go to those other shiurim. And some people, halacha is not for them. They like to have, you know, hashkafa, something beautiful, something on the parsha. For tefillah, it's very important. All the shiurim are great. But I think a mashal we could give is if somebody lives down the block from an ice cream store and their favorite flavor is, let's say, vanilla. So they're going to go to the ice cream store very, very often, right? They live right down the block from the ice cream store. Are they going to get vanilla every single time? They're not going to get vanilla every time, even though it's their favorite flavor. But when you go a lot and a lot, it's good to have a variety. So even if you come to the Tuesday morning halacha shiur, it's good if you have the time, of course. It depends on timing. If you're able to go to the other shiurim, it's fantastic. Those shiurim are great, I'm sure, and it's fantastic. But there's no question about it that halacha is the most important. And don't misquote me. I'm not saying anything against those other shiurim, and everyone should go to those other shiurim. You yourself should go to those shiurim. They're fantastic. But there's no doubt that the Tuesday morning shiur, and there's nothing to do with me, it's just because halacha, when you go to a shiur as far as hashkafa and amunah, and where does it all lead to? It all leads to the Torah and the halacha and the mitzvahs that we have to follow. And if a person's going through a makam tzar and they need to hear a hashkafa shiur, they need to have all those are all necessary and great. But one, the Gemara Bracha says, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then Hashem only has the Da'ar HaMashal Halacha. That's how we could connect to Hashem every single moment of the day. Do I need to make a new bracha? You take another sip. You have to make a new bracha or not? How many minutes was it? Every second. Sorry, that was perfect. But every second of the day when you follow Halacha, not just Shabbos. Okay, good. Very good. You're right. Shabbos during the week, you follow Halacha, you have Hashem with you every moment of the day. Once the Beis HaMikdash is not here, we don't have the Shechina with us, Halacha is where it all is. And you all deserve such credit that, I mean, Mrs. Goldschmidt for sure deserves the most because she's able to host that, and it's all, but it's her and all of you, besides for the shiurim that we record and we upload on TorahAnyTime.com, we have a karsa taif to them as well, but the shiur can't go on without the people, and everyone comes and more. I know in the summer it's less people, but it's all because of you, and people come to the shiur and they're able to grow in halacha. And I was schmoozing with Mrs. Goldschmidt's husband by Hisham Zachar this past Friday night. He told me a joke, which many people have told me this as well, that, you know, I could be a rav for the women. You know, and it's cute, but I feel that it's very important, and I'm proud to be able to have a chelek in it, because many people have questions, and many of you and many of the other women in the neighborhood from the Tuesday night show, many of the women, they call me for like random questions. What do I do about this? What bracha is this? I just happened this past Shabbos, did I do the right thing or not? Small questions that you're not going to bother a rav about. You're not going to call a rav. But you need somebody to ask. And as you all know, I'm not embarrassed to say, I don't know. I'll get back to you. I'll call you back and I'll let you know. Women need somebody, an address to go to, a phone number to go to for day-to-day small questions, not as far as going to the hospital on Shabbos in my ninth month and, a fleshika spoon with a milchika knife and onions and the pot. And those you speak to the rav, that's who you should speak to, and that's gevaldik, and that's what you should do. But questions day by day, feel free to call, whether it's me, or feel free to call a rav. You should also feel free to call a rav. But if you feel uncomfortable to bother a rav or something like that, you could call me with any time to be able to grow in halacha, whether it's a question in the past, a question for the future. And it's important. And that's how we are able to keep Hashem in our lives. Now that we're not zeicha to the Beis HaMikdash, and b'meher b'meinu, we should be able to have the Beis HaMikdash. And in the schus of learning these halachos, and halachos Shabbos, halachos brachos, whatever it is, we should be able to, Be'ez Hashem, also be able to continue after Sukkot. Should all have a wonderful summer, and I'm looking forward to after the summer.
Can I just give you a tremendous hakara tov from
It's my pleasure.
I also tell my daughters that it's very important that each of you find a rav that you can.
Yeah, and they should have a rav, but
and that also that I know that I've called you.
And everyone's more than welcome. And you all know that if I'm not able to talk, I just won't answer the phone, and I'll say I'll speak in a few minutes. I'll call you back. It's a small question, you know. Not a problem. 646-361-6377.
That's
my cell phone. That's my 646 is my cell phone. I'm not home.
Phone number is listed on your home phone number.
It is. Yeah, I said that's for Brisbane, but could call me at any time.
Thank you.
It's,